The Clark County School District will begin its transition to in-person classes again on Monday. After a turbulent fall semester that started out virtual, switched to in-person for elementary and middle school students, and then was forced to return to all virtual as coronavirus cases spiked again. Last week, we had President of the School Board, Dr. Lakeisha Gant, on the show to talk to us about the decision-making processes of the return to in-person instruction. And here with us today, we have Superintendent of the Clark County School District, Dr. Zernona Thomas, and Chief Academic Officer, Brandon Gaskins, to give us more about the details and logistics of the reopening. Thank you so much, both of you, for giving us a few minutes. First, I'll start with you, Dr. Thomas. Could you give us a broad overview of what this transition will look like as Clark County schools are heading back to in-person classes this month? Can you give us a broad overview of what this transition will look like?
Yes, so we have some different phases that we are beginning as a school district, and we will begin that first phase of return on Monday. And it will be for our students who are served through our adaptive special education program. And that group will be coming back somewhere between 2 to 4 days a week. And then starting March 1st, we will begin to return our pre-K through second grade students and our Office of Early Learning. So some of those students are younger than that pre-K age. And phase three will begin on March 15th, and we will add in third through fifth grade as well as our high school students, but in a cohort model. And then the exact next week, we will have all of our students back 4 days a week, but again, it would be some are in a cohort model. Others are in a coming Monday and Tuesday, Thursday and Friday, allowing for us to do some additional deep cleaning. We will, of course, be cleaning thoroughly every day, but we'll do more intensive cleaning in our buildings midweek and take that day for synchronous learning. And then we will return back to the option of face-to-face on Thursdays and Fridays. And this is a optional choice for families. They do not have to return back to face-to-face. They can choose to continue virtually.
And we know that there has been some difficulty keeping staff like bus drivers throughout the pandemic. Will there be sufficient transportation for all students that need it? And what safety measures will be taken on school buses?
You're right. Staffing has been a challenge with our transportation department, but we've also run into the same issues with a couple of our schools because we have managed to have very low positivity rates in our schools. The issue has been those who have been exposed. And as a result of that exposure, they're having to quarantine. It is the exposure and quarantining that is more problematic than actual positive cases. We'll continue with required mask wearing. We provide masks on our buses for students when they arrive in the morning if they do not have them. Distancing as much as possible on buses, so we are doing reduced routes on our buses.
The other thing is we have a modified high school bell schedule. So our high school students will be going to school between 9 a.m. and 1 p.m. Usually our bus drivers, they serve middle school and high school at the same time. And so if we are short bus drivers, that helps us prevent having to double up routes. We are very committed to having bus routes of no more than 44 students. And with high school being at a modified schedule, that helps us meet that need of not having to double up groups, not having to have students wait outside for another bus to come if a bus driver is out for whatever reason.
As we mentioned, in the fall semester, classes began virtually, then moved to in-person, then moved back to virtual. Are you hopeful that this time the transition will be permanent?
I think definitely hopeful. When we went out in late November, early December, it was a result of increased number of staff absences. We did see a lot of that after Thanksgiving, and that was what we had projected. That was why we had initially made the decision to stay out an additional 2 weeks after the holiday break, the winter break, because we anticipated another spike, and we were right. I mean, the numbers were significantly higher. And now what we've seen, now that we are almost a month out, well, actually a month out, is those numbers have started to decrease significantly, not in an ideal state of positivity rate in cases per 100,000, but much better than they were a month ago or even 3 weeks ago. And so we are seeing that downward trend. And our hope is that now we're post a lot of the large family gathering kind of activities, and that we will be able to safely continue our return back without, one, any significant spread, but also any significant impact to our ability to staff.
Some teachers have expressed concern that their students are not on track to complete the required coursework on time this year. And can you tell us what resources that the board can help allocate to help students catch up? And will there be any leeway for classes that don't get through all the material?
Our largest concern around course completion is really at the high school level, because those students are working toward Carnegie credits. We are planning summer school if summer school is needed for those students. I think with our elementary and our middle school students, that is a big challenge for us. We are working on having a summer school and enrichment program for those students as well. But realistically, we're going to have to embed some of that learning loss in the next grade level. We'll never be able to catch up completely in one summer or even in one school year. So we're just gonna have to work with our teachers and our families strategically to make sure that those students receive those standards in their next grade level.
Mr. Gaskins has done an excellent job with his team of starting to think creatively and out of the box in terms of how we support those students over the summer. So, you know, it could be a traditional school-based model with opportunities for enrichment and acceleration. It may be working between Mr. Gaskins and Mr. Lawrence Harris on our community partnerships and finding ways that we can support students within community settings, within camp settings.
My final question, the head of the CDC said that having teachers vaccinated isn't necessarily a prerequisite to opening schools safely, but there are over 20 states that have made teachers currently eligible for the vaccine. Do you think that teachers and support staff should be included in the 1A vaccination group in Georgia?
Definitely. We were very hopeful that 1B would be moving up sooner than it has. And we have worked, our lead school nurse, Amy Rourke, has worked diligently with multiple partner healthcare partners in the community to devise a plan to get all of our teachers vaccinated when we are legally able to do so. And we thought that would have been really about 2 weeks ago. The hope had been that 1B was close on the horizon and we would be able to provide support for our staff to receive those vaccines in our buildings. And we've been very disappointed, honestly, that that is not the case. And I'm a very strong advocate of that being moved up. And while we have been told that it is not essential, I think that anything that we can do to potentially reduce the risk and to have that as an option for families, we need to take advantage of that.
That is it for me. Is there anything that you wanted to say that I didn't address that you just wanted to get out for our listeners?
I just think our staff are overwhelmingly excited to be able to see and work with students face-to-face. They miss our students. I thank our teachers and our leaders and all of our support staff and operations staff for how flexible they have continued to be. So we're just looking forward to giving those students an opportunity to come back to the buildings.
Dr. Zernona Thomas is the superintendent of the Clark County School District, and Brandon Gaskins is chief academic officer. I just want to thank both of you for giving us a few minutes today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much.